Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend's edition, also your host throughout the week, on our website, kereport.com, and our podcast, The KE Report. Look, as much as these markets continue to, I guess, digest all of this news and factor in Fed expectations, which continue to lean to the side of a pause, which we all know is coming, and some rate cuts, which who knows when those will start coming, plus a recession by the tail end of this year, which seems like we keep getting beaten over the head with that narrative. I want to more take a step back, talk more big picture, because look, for as many investors as we have, or as many guests as we have on the show, we like to talk more big picture themes. And there's one theme that we hear a bit more about recently, although I have heard this term thrown around over the last decade plus, is more this commodities super cycle. In fact, where commodity prices should rise. Everything else seems to have risen in terms of asset prices over the last decade, but commodities, while they are close to breaking out to some all-time high levels, many commodities still have been unable to break out, and on top of that, build on some of those gains. So we're going to focus a lot on commodities for this weekend show. We're kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, from this high-level term of a commodity super cycle, I want to start out with the most basic definition that you have for a commodity super cycle. Please share with us what you think this whole term of a commodity super cycle means for markets, for commodities prices, filtering down for investors.
Well, I am a believer in the idea that we're in a new commodity super cycle. And to me, what that simply means is that there are cyclical drivers for commodities. And that would be coming out of recession, economy does well, that supports commodity prices, they go up. Economy, you know, starts to, you know, sputter and weaken, that's bearish for commodities and they go down. A commodity super cycle is kind of bigger than the cyclical driving forces for commodities trends. The idea of a super cycle is that we're in a trend of higher prices for commodities that is secular in nature. So that there are drivers that are bigger macro drivers than just what's going on cyclically. And to me, what drives these secular forces are simple, you know, long-term supply and demand factors. And I think the biggest one to pay attention to that affects supplies, I think, to the greatest extent, is just the capital cycle. So when something, you know, it's the price of whatever it is doing really, really well, it can be tech stocks, it can be commodities, it can be whatever you want. That strong performance attracts a bunch of capital that comes in to that sector. All of that capital gets invested in new supplies, which eventually overwhelm the demand in the market, and that creates a bearish dynamic for prices. When you have a sector that's done poorly in terms of price performance, capital abandons that sector of the economy. It says we can't invest in this anymore. This, you know, this has been a terrible thing to own, and that sector of the economy gets starved of capital. Well, that results in supplies dropping in a dramatic way, right? Companies can't invest in new supplies if they don't have capital. When that happens for a prolonged period of time, it sets the stage for very, crimped supplies. And if demand stays the same, then you have the components in place for an important bottom and powerful uptrend in prices. And I think that's where we are in commodities generally. I'm looking at things like oil and mining, where, you know, just to take the oil price, for example, in 2008 to the mid-2010s, we had a huge boom where the energy sector just attracted a massive amount of cheap capital, right? Fed lowers interest rates to zero in the great financial crisis. A lot of that easy money went into the fracking companies who invested in massive new supplies in U.S. oil production. What happened? Oil price crashes in 2014, actually goes negative during the pandemic. And really since that 2014 time period, for the past decade, the energy industry has been starved of capital. And so there's been no investment, essentially, in new production of oil. Meanwhile, demand continues to climb and hit new records. And so you have this situation where supplies can't easily meet that demand, and it takes a lot of new capital. That capital has to be invested in new supplies. That process takes a long period of time to play out. And so that's what really drives a bullish super cycle for commodity prices that really transcends the economic cycle. So yes, right now we're seeing the oil price weaken, copper prices weaken. People are worried about what recession would do to demand for these things. And there are still cyclical factors going on. But I think the bigger picture factor is that copper supplies are seriously hampered. Oil supplies are seriously hampered. And so the demand over the next several years or in the next decade is going to be such that it's going to set the stage for stronger price action for a number of years.
Yeah, Jesse, you make a great point there when you think about there's small cyclical trends like whether there'll be a recession or not that last maybe a year or two, maybe a couple of years, but there's secular trends that last really decades. And what you think of the commodities cycle, a lot of that was based previously on the China factor. You know, China was building all these huge cities and infrastructure and trains in the middle of nowhere and ghost cities. And that fueled a huge commodities run that petered out a while ago. But if you think about the last decade or two, the narrative has really been about the switch to this green energy, the switch to EVs, the switch to the electrification of all the developing nations. And we've been hearing that narrative for over a decade now. I remember in 2011 and 2012, these huge peaks in lithium and rare earths and all these different things to fund this big cycle. But really, it's the base metals like copper and nickel and just some basic mines that are going to have to be built to supply this new green energy revolution, this electrification narrative, and we haven't seen any investment for over a decade now. So when I think about the commodity supercycle, I think about this global push to fix emissions, to electrify the world, and there's not the investment in the mines to your point. So do you think that is what the next decade is going to be about, this investment from nations around the world into mining to get the supply of raw materials that they need for these initiatives that they say are so important to their policies?
I was talking about the supply side of commodities, you know, are really affected by this capital cycle. You're referencing the demand side. And so supplies are hampered, and demand for these things is only going to go up, right? If we look at energy, the IEA revised its forecast for demand for this year to new record highs, right? I think a lot of people who are talking about the green revolution are under the maybe misguided belief that demand for fossil fuels is going to peak and roll over, and it's just not going to do that anytime soon. And so, with demand hitting new record highs and supplies, becoming increasingly limited, that's bullish for oil prices. Copper is just as, if not even more interesting from that demand perspective, because if we do want to create a green revolution and decarbonize the economy, it's going to take a lot of copper.
Boy, you are right, Jesse. We have heard a lot about how much copper is going to be needed and how low the supplies are right now. Plus, we're just not seeing many mines come online. Something that we'll touch on a bit more in the next segment. We are out of time for this segment, so everybody, stick around. We are going to be right back with Jesse Felder, continuing to talk big picture about this whole commodity super cycle.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to DanPilla.com to order your copy. That's DanPilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to DanPilla.com. That's DanPilla.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. So, Jesse, you made the point that it's a lot about money flows. Money needs to start flowing into the sector. Is this a country-by-country basis, or is this simply need to be a global effort where more governments, more companies, more big institutions are simply more favorable towards mining?
Well, it could be, you know, debt capital. It could be equity capital. But the money needs to flow into these companies in some form or another in order for them to invest heavily in making sure the supplies are available for what we want to accomplish. To answer your question directly, this is a global thing, right? We see it's not just the United States that wants to decarbonize and pursue this kind of green energy transition. It's Europe and Western nations are pressuring countries around the world to kind of follow suit and pursue these, measures to create a cleaner energy. So, there's going to be this global push in this direction, and it's already happening. So before this super cycle is over, we're going to have to see a lot of capital flowing into this sector of the economy, into commodity production, into these things, whether it's, into the equity, into the debt, whatever these companies need to see the capital come in order for them to have the confidence to invest in supplies. And I think energy is another good example here where you see the U.S. energy producers are saying, look, we're not going to invest in new supplies because prices are really still very low in terms of, real prices of commodities, real prices of energy, and just the nominal price of things like natural gas are so cheap that we're not going to invest in these things until prices go up a bunch and until we get a bunch more capital to get this done. And so that takes years. This is not a cycle that's going to happen in the next 18 months or something. Something's going to take 3 to 5 years before you finally get the type of returns in the sector that attracts capital, that capital starts, getting invested in increased supplies.
What comes first? Is it price increases or then the capital flows in, or capital flows in and then price goes up?
Well, we're seeing the returns in energy, right? I mean, it's amazing to me that a lot of these, U.S. energy companies, independent energy companies, traded 5 times cash flow right now. Investors are essentially betting on these cyclical forces being more powerful than the secular forces. They're essentially betting on we're going back to the old paradigm of the last 15 years, which we're going to go back to low interest rates, low inflation, all of these things, and energy is not going to be a great bet. And then we're going to see a recession and energy prices are going to crash again as part of that. But energy companies are printing money right now. I mean, they're the most profitable companies, in the market. If you look at what the S&P 500 earnings would look like without energy, it's not pretty. I think we're seeing a 3% year-over-year decline in earnings, and it would be much more significant than that without the energy sector right now. So I think eventually, if cash flow stays as good as it is for these energy companies for a period of time, investors are going to have to say, hey, look, where else can I get, five times cash flow, right? I mean, that's a 20% cash on cash return investing in these things. Eventually, that's going to look attractive to investors. They're going to put money to work there. And that will be part of this process.
Well, Jesse, another thing to think about when you look at the commodity supercycle is how commodities have fared relative to other asset classes. And when you peel back the layers of time and look at these over decades, Jeffrey Gundlach had a great chart out maybe 2 years ago that a lot of people circulated for months and months after that, showing how undervalued commodities were relative to bonds, relative to stocks, relative to real estate. So when you look at things over that kind of perspective, even though there were some peaks like the oil peak in 2008 or uranium had a peak back in 2010, 2011, there are many commodities, and especially in the metal side of things, but even if it was even in the soft commodities, that are incredibly low relative to other asset classes. Bonds were in a 40-year bubble. Real estate has been surging for decades. When you think about the asset class of stocks, the last dozen years was like a straight-up sugar rush from all the Fed liquidity that they infused, but that didn't find its way into the commodity sector. So isn't part of this just how commodities will fare versus other asset classes? Because if you look at them in nominal terms, it can be misleading. But when you look at them in inflation-adjusted terms, commodities are still very low historically, especially compared to other asset classes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a post that a blog post I published just about 3 years ago on my blog that was, you know, the title was A Generational Opportunity in Commodities. It showed that ratio of the Goldman Sachs Commodities Index to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, just the ratio of commodities to stocks. And when you look at that, you can see the only other time commodities were as cheap relative to stocks as they are today, still, even after the commodities boom that we've had over the past couple of years, they're still about as cheap as they were in the, you know, in 1966, 67, right? And that was, you know, by far the cheapest they've ever been in 100 years, in the last century. What did the commodity, you know, commodities to stock market ratio do from 65 to 85? Well, you know, it went up fivefold. So part of it is valuation. Yes, commodities are extremely cheap. And you know, I think people have this idea, maybe a misunderstanding of commodities prices when they look back and go, well, oil, you know, oil price is actually pretty high. Yes, compared to 2020, compared to the oil price going negative in 2020, I mean, you look back, the oil price peak in 2008, whatever it was, $150 a barrel, something, we're down 50% from that level 15 years later. So if you just look at, you know, let's inflation adjust the oil price somehow. Let's just, you know, deflate it by CPI. Or I prefer to kind of look at the oil price to M2 ratio. It's extremely cheap, right? Oil prices are about as cheap as they typically ever get when you look at, you know, the oil price relative to the money supply. You could do the same for copper prices. You could do the same thing for commodities to M2 generally. Commodities are extremely cheap, and so valuations are a big part of the story as well.
So, Jesse, is there one commodity or a group of commodities that you think will outperform the rest of them? If we are in this bullish cycle, then what will do better for investors?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, the two that I'm focused most on, copper and energy prices, so, you know, oil and natural gas. But, you know, I think it's interesting to look at Newmont's acquisition of Newcrest this week, and you know, Newmont said one of the driving forces for this were it was going to give them greater exposure to copper. And I think that's a pretty clear sign that Newmont is aware of what's going on in the copper market and the supply to demand dynamics there over the next several years. And so, you know, I think copper is kind of a no-brainer because supplies are so hampered. And, you know, with this green revolution, demand is going to go through the roof.
All right, Jesse, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. I greatly appreciate you sharing your time and your thoughts on this whole commodity sector. For everyone who wants to hear more from Jesse, be sure to visit the Felder Report website and also visit our website or podcast to listen to an extended version of this interview.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
U.S. USA News Update. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky landed in Japan for the G7 summit. Basketball fans cheering for Brittany Griner on her return to the WNBA.
Griner had spent 10 months in prison in Russia for alleged drug smuggling and was released last December in a prisoner swap. On Friday, she scored 18 points, grabbed 6 rebounds, and had 2 assists, but failed to win.
Bloomberg reporting that Instagram is set to launch a text-based app this summer that could compete with Twitter. More than 50 years ago, four motorcyclists asked a local priest in Baldwin, Michigan, to bless their bikes. That was the start of what now has become a multi-day event. This weekend, the 51st annual Blessing of the Bikes, the town of Baldwin expecting tens of thousands of motorcycles. Corey Myers, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com. So.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are continuing to focus on the commodity sector, a bit more of a focus on the precious metals, as we are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, as we're recording this, still fairly early on in the week, it's Tuesday as we are chatting, and we are going through still this general correction in precious metals. Right now, the gold price is just below $2,000 an ounce. Silver is a little under $24. Still, if you look at a longer-term chart, this correction is very much expected and hasn't broken any key technical levels by any means. It's really trading in this range as we're, it seems like, waiting for more of a breakout. I was going to ask you in terms of what levels would get you more worried about this correction, but as we were chatting off mic, you brought up a question that I think is even more relevant here is this a base, a longer-term base being formed in the precious metals price, or is this a top being built? What do you have to say to this?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like we talked about last week, when we came into last week, right out of the gate, we had the silver price and the miners showing strong relative weakness to the gold price, and that was hinting that we were going to get this correction. But yeah, in the bigger picture, if you're a generalist, you know, and you've pretty much avoided this sector for the past decade, which most of them have,
you take a look at the gold price, and even though it's in a technical bull market, it keeps making higher highs and higher lows recently. In the bigger picture, in the last 3 years, it's gone nowhere. It's just gone sideways. And that begs the question, is this a huge top or is this a huge base? Well, if we take a look at what the drivers would be for it to be a huge base, that would be that the major driver, I believe, is the macroeconomic picture, the loss of faith in government and the loss of faith in central banks and their monetary policies, all the debt that we've created. It's over $300 trillion now in the world, and all the debt payments that are gonna come out of this, and this debt ceiling that's happening right now, and you have a president that has actually come out and said it he would possibly invoke the 14th Amendment after this debt ceiling is resolved, which means that the U.S. would have no debt ceiling, and the world's largest economy would have, you know, no fiscal responsibility in its government spending. So, you know, we have all these catalysts for it to be a base that's being created, yet I don't see any catalyst for a downside move for this being a top. I mean, we had the top callers really crowing when the gold price lost that 1675 level late last year, and it turned into to be a huge bear trap. I mean, there was all these prognostications of the gold price. Yeah, here it is. It's lost that 1675 level, and now it's going down to 1500, 1400, where it broke out, where it formed its last base below 1400 for 6 years. And then once it broke out, it ran up to over $2,000 an ounce. Well, like I said, that was basically a false breakdown, and we had a triple bottom formed on its monthly chart at 1620. And now we've had a 30% move over the past 6 months in the gold price of over $450. That's a huge move, and that needs to consolidate. And not only that, once it got to $4 from its all-time high at 2089, it became technically overbought. As a matter of fact, it's been technically overbought on a weekly basis ever since the regional banking crisis got it there in early March. So this is all healthy as far as the gold price is concerned. And if you take a look at the gold stocks, I mean, they did their job. They went up 65%. The GDX and GDXJ went up 65% from their lows in September. So they had a two-times move from the gold price.
Yeah, Dave, if you look at it from the big picture like that, it paints a lot different picture than when we get stuck in the weeds or when people get stuck in daily volatility. Because if you think back to last year when we were talking on a lot of these episodes, everybody was worried that there was a double top in place, that the 2020 August high of 2089 and then the 2073, 2078 was also hit in 2022 during that Ukraine war situation. And everybody was in that camp of, wow, it's a double top. It looks like it's going to pull back. And when gold did break 1675, they said, oh, look, it's 2013 all over again. It's going to be a waterfall decline. But that's not what happened. And we have to deal in what actually happened. What actually happened was, as you say, a big reversal in fortunes. It was a false breakdown. Gold tacked on $400, but not just added a lot of money. Silver and the mining stocks led the way higher before gold even started getting off the bottom. And I would point out that gold also has made a higher monthly high, a higher quarterly high, and came within a dollar or two of making a higher weekly high, all-time highs, all-time quarterly highs, all-time monthly highs. Those are very big, longer-term positives. And it also is true that most markets don't just make a triple top or something like that. There are real legitimate W-shaped double bottoms and M-shaped double tops, but a triple top is usually something that gets tested again, a fourth time, a fifth time, and it seems like the tenor of the market changed at the fourth quarter of last year, and the odds are more likely that this is not a triple top and just a topping process, but actually it's something that's going to get knocked on that door and it's going to keep bumping its head against it until it finally breaks through. Is that how you're reading it, or do you think there legitimately is a reason to be concerned that it's a top?
Yes, that's definitely how I'm reading it. I mean, if you go back through history, in technical analysis, you know, if you have a major resistance level, and that 2,000-2,100 level has been a major resistance level in the gold price for 12 years now, not just the past 3 years, because it came within $75 of 2,000 back in 2011. That's been major resistance for a very long time. And typically you have three tests of that major resistance. The third test fails, like a three strikes you're out type of situation that is conveying to the market. You know, people sell And what needs to happen is it needs to come down and build strength for a breakout. And like I said, once it got to this third test, it was very overbought. And it had gone up 32% in 6 months. So, you know, this is healthy. It needs to happen. And once we have this pullback, I believe the fourth test will be successful. And there are several catalysts out there that could make it successful. I mean, we need a very strong catalyst to break it, to break the gold price above $2,100 on a monthly basis close. I've been saying in the past that first of all, we need a monthly basis, close above 2,000 to get, to bring, you know, more momentum traders into this sector and solidify a bottom at 2000. And that almost took place last month. The gold price came within pennies of closing above $2,000 on a monthly basis in April. And I think it closed it at 1999.10 or 1999.20 or something. And it did not get that $2,000 monthly close. So, you know, all this is very healthy in the long-term picture because, you know, if the gold price would have kept going and broke out above 2100 being this overbought, it wouldn't have held. And it wouldn't have been on a strong enough catalyst to hold. We need a strong catalyst, and a strong catalyst like a debt ceiling default, which you don't want to see, of course, or a geopolitical catalyst, which also you don't want to see. But what we do want to see, what everybody's waiting for, is that Fed pivot. And I think it's going to be farther out than people think, and that's what the gold price is telling us right now. That the gold price is already priced in this pause that's likely going to take place either in the upcoming meeting in June or the following meeting. But the pivot might be farther out than people expect.
Oh, you are right, Dave. Everybody is waiting for this Fed pivot, and that is more than just the Fed pause that we all know is coming. However, the market has seemed to gotten a little ahead of itself, I think at least, pricing in almost 4 rate cuts by the beginning of next year. If that does get pushed off, I do think we should expect maybe a little bit more pullback in the markets and even the metals. But maybe that's what we're dealing with right here. It's something that we seemingly are talking about week after week. But hey, Dave, we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Dave Erfley. Now, Dave, let's get a little bit more into the stocks, starting with the majors, because in the precious metal space, we have seen a complete consolidation within the majors. And even recently, the newest story to break is Newmont buying Newcrest and a focus more into the copper space, which, you know what, we have started to hear from larger companies and even institutions outside of the resource space saying copper is going to be critical. Is this Newmont story, this acquisition of Newcrest, part of a bigger picture that we need to be paying more attention to?
Yeah, as far as the majors are concerned, the Newmont taking over Newcrest, I mean, this is huge for the sector because they're becoming not only they were already the largest gold producer, but now they will become the largest gold producer. They'll be producing twice as much as the second major, which is Barrick. And the funny thing is Barrick was attempting to take over Newmont just about 4 or 5 years ago. And they ended up forming Nevada Gold Mines together, but Newmont has continued to grow, and now they're twice as big as Newmont. But yes, I mean, you've also heard Barrick, the CEO of Barrick, Mark Bristow, say they want to concentrate more on copper as well. They see the opportunities in the copper space, and they want to produce more copper as well. But it's funny, you hear Mark Bristow talk about it, and then you see Newmont doing it. And I know Newmont is going to divest a few mines in Western Australia because one is overly mature and the other one is too small to fit their profile. But they're still going to be the largest gold mining company by far, and they're also going to be paying a 3.5% dividend while Barrick is only paying a 2%. So you've also heard Bristow say that we're not going to buy a major just for the sake of getting bigger. He hinted at of them possibly starting to take out a junior or two to acquire some more mines. So I think that's going to filter on down into the juniors because there's plenty of juniors out there that are on sale that are trading at, you know, less than $40 an ounce in the ground that are just asking to be acquired by some of these companies. With them starting to get cheaper now, I wouldn't be surprised if they start going down the food chain and starting to acquire some of these juniors.
Well, Dave, just one more question on M&A, because it seems like the vast majority of the deals we've seen the last 2 years, and we have seen dozens of them, have been mostly in the camp of producers taking over producers. Part of the reason is things are so undervalued that it makes a lot more sense to just buy a mine that's already built, that's permitted, that actually has the infrastructure in place. They don't have to construct it. They don't have to deal with the inflation cost of building new mines. They don't have to deal with all of the stakeholders to try to get this thing permitted. And when you look at a lot of the development projects, there are dozens and dozens of them that are quality projects, have good economics on them. Everything looks good. It looks like a good deposit. The team has done a great job de-risking it. And the majors and the mid-tiers aren't nibbling on those. They're buying producing assets. There are a few exceptions like the Great Bear deal. But in general, most of the M&A deals have been producers buying producers. Is that a trend that you think is going to change, or does it make sense that that's the way they're playing it at this point in time?
Yeah, it makes sense that that's the way they're playing it because, you know, they're waiting like everybody else is waiting for the question that at the start of this interview is this a huge top in the gold price or is this a huge bottom? Remember the last time they started taking over companies when the gold price was at record highs, they started taking out companies. They started taking out lower margin projects, bulk tonnage, lower margin projects that needed higher gold prices. And that turned out to be a huge mistake. So they don't want to make mistakes again. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're waiting for the gold price to break out before they start taking over some of these projects, because they're going to have to replace those ounces that they're producing. The exploration programs, you know, are not nearly what they used to be 20 years ago. They don't, you know, some of them don't even have exploration programs. So they have to take out the ounces on Bay Street as opposed to trying to prove up the ounces themselves. And they're going to be taking over projects that have multi-million ounce potential. They've got to have blue sky potential with multi-million ounces already proved up before they even consider taking them over. I mean, we just had Anglo take out, you know, do a JV with the Cisco for a 50% JV. So that takes that one off the table. They're probably going to eventually take over that project. But I wouldn't be surprised to start seeing more deals like that where a major comes in and takes over, you know, 50% of a project first.
So is that why ounces in the ground are trading for so cheap? Is that they don't carry as much value because these majors, they did take over a lot of ounces in the ground plays, low margin plays back at the top of the cycle. And now we're back at these prices and they still have these assets on the book. So why go out and take out more of the same assets? Look for blue sky or, quite frankly, the assets that they've written down, bring them back onto their books. They already have them in their portfolio.
Right. A lot of these are higher margin ones that they're not into now. And some of them, they've already taken, you know, 19.9% stake in the company. So they already have a chunk of the company, and it would cost them less to take over the whole company. It would only cost them 80% as opposed to 100% buyout. So this is all in margin, higher margin projects, you know, because a lot of these companies, they still use a higher gold price, higher base case gold price on their economic studies. But, you know, when you had a company like Sabina recently taken over by B2, you know, they used a really low gold price. Basically, that's a very high margin project with huge blue sky potential. But only a few companies could have taken that over because they didn't know how to do business in that kind of climate. You know, we had Agnico being one and B2 being the other, and B2 was the one that took it out.
So where do you like, Dave? Like, I know that you're already loaded up on the stocks you like. We talked about it last year as you were playing that 7-year cycle. You were loading up on the companies you liked. For investors that maybe aren't invested and are seeing this general pullback in companies, what do you like? Where are you focused?
You know, you really have to weed out the companies that we just talked about, you know, early stage companies that don't have a defined deposit. I mean, I really don't see, I haven't seen a point in investing in those for over a year now. It's the companies that have these big projects, that have blue sky potential on these projects. They're de-risked to, you know, they've got strong economic studies already out. They've got plenty of cash. You know, you have to watch the capex. A couple of the companies that I already invested in, they had some capex blowout problems. And although I made money on the stock earlier in an earlier cycle, I'm down on the stock now on this cycle while they de-risk the project up to the finance stage or even the construction stage. And I'm down 20 or 30% on it, but I don't see any reason to sell it because they're either at the finance stage or they're constructing the mine. And once the mine is built and starts producing gold, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets taken out eventually. It might even get taken out right before they start producing. But this is what you hope for when you invest in these things. You're hoping for a takeout. And I believe that the companies that I own, that I'm holding, that are like that, these developers that have these fantastic projects, you know, that would make serious money even at $1,600-$1,700 gold. I expect them to eventually be taken out, but it's going to take some time, and I'm hoping it takes longer time now because, you know, my upside would be a lot less if they were taken out a lot sooner than I would expect. Like I said, I don't think the majors are going to start really ramping up their M&A until the gold price does get over that $2,100 level.
Okay. Hey, thank you. We'd hear a lot about Blue Sky, right? And it is now. It's not 1 million ounces, not 2 million ounces. It's having a couple million ounces and clearly having that road to even double that, which is tough for companies right now. And you can isolate companies that have large assets that still have exploration potential. I know we all know companies that are kind of stuck with what they have, and unfortunately, you're right, it just doesn't draw in investors or the majors. Hey, Dave, I really appreciate you taking some time and sharing your thoughts, more focused on this sector, because, look, it's still, unfortunately, a trader's market. This is not a market where everything is going higher and you can just buy and hold. You do need to be active in this market and isolate those stocks that are quality stocks, especially in the junior category. So, Dave, thanks for joining us on this weekend show. Everyone, thanks for taking time and listening to this weekend show. Please go back through the week on our website and podcast. Listen to all our daily editorials and keep in touch with Chad and I through email. Everyone, again, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for joining us.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million-dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.